Nothing in his relationship to us changes God or changes his essence. Fundamentally, he's not dependent on the world. That's the crucial thing that classical theism wanted to insist when classical theism gave us the notion of God's transcendence. Now, according to Hartshorn, God is really related to us because of this consequent nature, as Whitehead put it. The way Hartshorn argues about it is, he says, look, God has knowledge of the world, and the world changes. And therefore, if God's knowledge of the world is to be adequate and faithful to what's going on in the world, to be truthful to what goes on in the world, God's knowledge, too, has to change with the changing of the world. The content of the world has to be reflected in the content of God's knowledge, and God's knowledge is more perfect if it changes with the world rather than less perfect. Likewise, God's love is not merely an immutable and impassible benevolence towards us, but it's a sympathetic sorrowing in response to the sorrows of the world and a sympathetic rejoicing in response to the joys of the world. So God's love and knowledge both responds to the world, is shaped by or given content by what happens in the world. God doesn't sort of stand outside the world and create the whole ball of wax from beginning to end, as in classical theism. God is there with the world, being affected by the world. His knowledge is a reflection of what happens in the world. His love is a sympathetic response to the joys and sorrows of the world. God is a sympathetic character in Hartshorn. He's not off sort of outside the world. This fact that God changes, right, he's in time. The fact that he changes appropriately in response to the world's changes makes him, in Hartshorn's view, more perfect, not less. There's a classic argument in classical theism that God can't change because if he changed, he'd have to either change for the better or for the worse. Right? Well, if he changed for the better, that means he isn't perfect. If he changed for the worse, well, that means he would be less perfect. So if he's really perfect, he can't change at all. He can't change for the better or for the worse. That's the argument of classical theism. Hartshorn says, no. It's part of the perfection of God that he changes in response to the world. If he didn't change, he would be less perfect. He wouldn't grow. Right? And growth is a form of perfection. Right? God is as perfect as he can be at the present. Right? He's perfectly in tune with what's happening in the world. But he's going to get more perfect because just as the world changes, God will change. Right? He will know more and more as he goes because the world grows and gets to be more and more as it goes. So for Hartshorn, perfection is growth. Right? At any one time, you may be perfectly grown. God is perfectly grown. He's as much God as he needs to be at any one time. He's perfectly God, and yet there's more to go. He's got a future. Right? He himself doesn't know what's going to happen in the future because the future is open. What will happen in the world is up to not just God, but to us, our free actions, right? Whitehead has that modern notion of incompatibilism, where our free actions aren't really free if God makes them happen, right? So our free actions are something that God doesn't control, God doesn't decide about. They're up to us. So God has to respond to them. He has to wait to see what happens, right? The future is open even for God because he's watching and waiting and seeing what's going to happen in the world, ready to respond to it in terms of an appropriate knowledge, an appropriate love. He'll suffer with us when we suffer. He will rejoice with us when we rejoice. But how we will suffer and how we will rejoice is partly up to us and our decisions. So the world is an open future to which God is really related, because he really does change with the world. His knowledge changes with the world. His love changes with the world. His sorrowing changes when we sorrow, and it changes to joy when we turn to joy. The future is not predetermined. God hasn't already decided about it, not like a novelist who's already written the end of the story. It's a future which God himself has to await. So, you can see that there's a lot that's attractive about this view. God who sympathizes with us, God who changes, God who grows. Many people want that conception of God. So let's look at the strengths of this view of God and also look at some of the criticisms that have been made from a more classic or orthodox viewpoint. First of all, process philosophy provides an alternative ontology. as we mentioned at the beginning. It provides an alternative to the metaphysics of timeless, eternal essences that you get from Platonism.